That did come true.
Yes, I know.
That was Mickey, isn't it?
That's Mickey, isn't it?
Yes, of course it's me. Who do you think it is?
Well, I just wondered. You came with it. You came anyway again, and we just wondered.
Yeah. Good,
Mickey, of course.
How are you, Mickey?
Oh, it's nothing wrong with me, mate. You alright?
Yes, very well.
Keeping your pecker up?
Oh, yes.
How about you, Auntie?
Oh, I'm alright, thank you, Mickey.
Keeping an eye on him?
Yes, I've got to.
She's like a schoolmaster. For me.
I think it's time somebody kept their eye on me for a change.
Well, I keep eye on you. In fact, we keep eye on one another. Mm.
I bet that's what you feel you could do with a bit of taking care of, Auntie.
That's true sometimes, Mickey, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, that you in?
That's a lot for us today, Mickey.
I'm
in the bedroom. What are you doing in the bedroom?
I'm in the
bedroom. Oh,
did
I interrupt?
Yeah.
Good morning, friend.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well.
Good.
I trust you are very well too.
Oh, yeah? Very well indeed.
It's good. It's nice. I'm not sure though if you can hear.
Yes, we can hear you.
It's a bit passive in still, this, you know.
Yeah, you're very well, friend.
Yes.
Very well.
This is Mrs. Green and Mr. Woods.
Yes.
Quite great.
Yes.
Maybe have your name, friend?
My name, and probably won't convey it to you. My name is Gunn.
Gunn?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Norman Gunn.
Norman Gunn?
Yes.
Yes.
I have been several times to this sort of thing. I've been standing around when they've been coming through and talking to you. Some of these people, of course, they've been at it for a long time. They know quite a bit about it.
Yeah.
I'm only just feeling my way.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you talked about yourself, friend, today?
I was on the railway for years.
Were you?
Yes. Back to before, must be 40 odd years I was on the railway.
Yeah.
I died some few years back now.
Yeah.
I had pneumonia and some complications sitting, and that was that, you see.
Yeah.
Now I'm over here. I'm very happy. I wouldn't want to come back to your side to leave, but I must say, I do find all this very interesting.
Did you know anything about an afterlife before you passed over?
Oh, not really, no. I was not religious exactly. I was neither one thing or the other. I hardly ever went to church. None of my people was what you'd call religious. We was all, you know, sort of baptised in the church and all that sort of thing, but I never made a habit of going to church. I'd heard vaguely about spirits and spiritualism, but I never took any of it seriously.
Can you tell us
my
how
wife,
you...
My wife, Kit's here. We both get together now.
Oh, yeah.
She came here some little time before me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very long after her. Working worked on the railway here. I think my lungs got a bit congested, but... You know, one thing or the other, railway was all right, but I didn't pay much in them days, of course. 30 bob a week. Out of that, you had to bring up family. Of course, you got a railway cottage, such as it was. Oh, well, times have changed, my goodness me, when I come and see the way the youngsters and that carry on today, and the help they get one way and another, they're having a marvellous time, I suppose, really. Not that I can see this doing all that much good, but here you are, I suppose.
Mr. Gunn, can you remember your reactions when you passed over and how you
nothing much.
Found yourself?
Sitting, the missus was standing there, and my mother, who she'd been, because she died way back in 1920-something, my mother and my father and several other relations, And of course, a boy that we had that died pretty young, was only about four.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big, tall, strapping chap. I didn't know who he was at first. Then I was explained. I never thought about these things, about children dying and growing up and all that. And, you know, in fact, I never seriously thought there was anything after death. I thought when you had your chips, you'd had it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, dear, dear. We had some surprises, don't we? Mm-hmm. When you come over here, anyone talking about pigging out, no need to worry about that.
Well, what did you do when they met you? What did you do then?
Hey?
What did you do when they met you? Did they take you anywhere?
Oh, I went to the missus's place. She's a nice little place that she has. I suppose you call it a cottage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different to the old railway cottage we lived in. I mean, this was a real nice little place and very comfortable and very nice, pretty little garden. And, of course, I didn't know, I mean, in those early days, you might say, I suppose I, because I felt so fit and well, I took it for granted as, you know, that you had food and drink and all that, same as did on Earth.
Mm.
And the first thing I sensed or wanted, I suppose, well, I remember, was just a cup of tea and some bread and cheese. I know this sounds mad now, but it was there. But, I've said since then, of course, that was only in one's mind, you know. If you want something and it's important to you and to make you feel comfortable and happy, those things are possible in the first instance, you know, but you soon realise they're merely ideas that you carried over from the earth and they're not necessarily realities, you might say, and you soon lose that desire for things and soon change, you soon attach yourself. You know, I've got many interests, I meet many of my old friends, and I visit places and people, and I've been studying, I go to lectures, and I go to what you call school, I suppose, to educate myself mentally and learn various things. I was always the one for reading when I was on your side, always interested in history, and since I had such an interest in history, I've met a lot of famous people that I've read about in the past, and it's wonderful to realise what natural existences they live here and how they've, to some extent, of course, sort of changed. Although there again, if you want to see history, there's nothing to stop you from seeing it as it was. It's a sort of like the end of the films. You can visit places here where you can go into the past and you can witness things, and that's a way of teaching and learning from experiences of the past. And of course when you get to know people over here and they want to convey something to you, you see, they can do that by that power of thought and transmit the pictures so that you can actually see and experience things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of having to talk and matter all the time, you soon learn that you don't have to talk. You can communicate purely on a sort of thought vibration or thoughts, you know, is marvellous.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And then there's scientists up here, you know, that are scientifically investigating and assisting people on your side. Of course, there are scientists here who are trying to get over various thoughts and ideas. And they have to find suitable people on yours, but they don't have to know particularly, you might say, about spiritualism and all mediums and all that. But if they're fortunate enough to get hold of someone who is sensitive and they can transmit, you might say, some of their thoughts and ideas through them, that person on earth may have no knowledge of this spiritualism. They get it through. That's the only way we can get through thoughts and ideas, is by impressing them. Of course, if a person is a medium in the sense that they understand the subjects like you, Dr. Tree, then it's a great help. But of course, a lot of scientists are very distressed about the way some of the ideas they put over have gone astray and how they're being used. That's the tragedy of science, isn't it? That these things which could be a benefit to man are invariably used to his disadvantage, and really they're used in the wrong way to such an extent that they bring more disaster on the world. That's the science I have, because I'm not a scientist. But I've always been interested in the science. Not that I had any chance to do anything about it on your side, but over here I've taken a great interest in there. And of course there's untold things waiting to be discovered. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. I mean, you think that you can go on investigating, go on probing and prying and finding out more of what makes life tick, you might say. No, it's marvellous. That's the joy of it, you see. There's no end. You go on and on advancing and learning and experiencing, and you never tire, you never sort of feel you've exhausted any subject. There's always more to learn and discover. Oh, it's a marvellous thing. No wonder you worry about dying. It's like, well, it's like waking, going to sleep one world, waking up the next. That's what it is, really, isn't it?
Yes. Have you discovered yourself when you've been studying science? Have you discovered anything exciting?
Oh, I've discovered many things that have excited to me and certainly have helped me to advance and experience things which I certainly couldn't have done on your side, obviously.
Well, can you tell us something about
whether I could ever impart some of that knowledge down to you?
Well, can you tell?
In words, because you see a lot of it is beyond material things altogether.
Yeah. Can you give us a little of your knowledge that perhaps we could understand? But they're always out for knowledge, you see.
Yeah, but I think, you know, well, some of these clever people, I mean, much cleverer than me, much more highly advanced than me, I think they come to a full stop, you know, when it comes to trying to tell you people things about our world, which is so far removed. I mean, whatever we can tell you, this is limited, it must be, because you couldn't grasp it, you couldn't understand it. And there's no way that we could depict or describe it. I think it's asking the impossible. I mean, you can get a certain amount and certain things can be told you, but that's probably been told you time again by people. It only becomes a sort of repetition, you might say. That's the problem you've got to face until, I suppose, there's some method or way in which we can... You see, the whole point is this is not something you can talk about. This is something you've got to experience, and you can only experience when you yourselves have got onto a certain sort of stage of evolution, I suppose you call it, or advancement, to understand and to appreciate it. It's ridiculous, really, but in a way, I mean, it's natural, of course, when people say, well, can you tell us something about certain aspects of your life? Well, of course, to a certain extent we can, but you must obviously be terribly limited by your understanding and how difficult it is to explain it. And I don't see for the life of me, until you get here, that you can ever hope to get any real understanding apart from a general idea that life here is a very real life, has a very natural existence, is an extension of your life, of course it is, but on a much higher plane as you progress nearer the earth, of course, when one is not so developed, you might say that it's a replica of the material world without many of its disadvantages. I think that's perfectly true, because what constitutes the world around you, that is near unto you, is in a sense a reflection of your world, because it's created in a sense by the thoughts and ideas of the people who once lived on your side. So you've got in a sense near the earth, and that's the condition of life that most people come to, obviously. It's merely an extension of yours without many of the world's material world's disadvantages. In other words, you might say our world is an extension of yours in a more perfect being or state. And that is as much as we can ever hope to explain to you. And I think you can sit from now until doomsday and you'll never get any further. So in that sense, I think you're wasting your time. I mean, you get relations come through and they'll give you their little bits of proof and talk about all various things that give you comfort and help you, and that's marvellous. And then they'll try and tell you little bits about the way they live. But that's limited. I think you've just got to accept that.
Have you had any experience? Have you been taken to a higher sphere than you're on now?
No.
You haven't had that experience?
I don't know whether this can happen yet. I don't think, frankly, that one can enter into a condition of awareness, you might say, or condition of experience until you yourself made it possible. And I don't think that it is possible for a soul on this side, or for that matter, a soul on your side, to experience something which in a sense is beyond them because they haven't made it possible to attain or achieve it. It is until the person can make it possible by themselves, that is by their outlook and nature and by their, what you say, receptive activity, then I think they leave it to themselves and to what they experience in an ordinary way. All this depends on the individual. And until one raises oneself onto a higher sort of mental plane, then you're limiting yourself to the mundane and the ordinary. I used to read a lot at one time when I was on your side, not religious work, but I was interested in science, although of course I've never been a scientist without my, with my background, lack of education, but I was always fascinated. I never had any real belief in life after death, like there. Now of course I know different. But you know, you people, I think you've got to accept the fact that to a certain extent there is a limit to what you can get from this side. That's my idea, anyway.
How do you find the lectures over there? Are they different from the lectures given on the...
Well, of course, they're not lectures in the way in which you look upon the term. I mean, that's an idea, that's another thing. You see, we say to you, or we go to lectures. Yeah. You immediately think of someone standing up in a rostrum talking.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's not it.
Well,
I mean, a lecture is only a sort of... the word that we must use, because you know, the word finger is much more than that. It's not a lecture by an individual just speaking. It's something much more vital than that. It's a demonstration of the individual's personality, the individual's experience, individual's knowledge, and it's transmitted in a mental way, which means when a person transmits something here mentally, it is visible. It's not just something that they listen to. In fact, you don't listen in the sense of listening to a vocal of someone talking. You listen to their thoughts, and their thoughts are transmitted in the ether, in the atmosphere, whatever you like to call it, and it's picturized the same as a person can transmit their thoughts and create music and sound. We can do, well, not me, but more highly advanced souls can create for themselves and for the benefit of others, you might say almost a new world of experience, and so that it can be a form of education and advancement to those less advanced. Everything's a matter of individual's realization of the power within himself, this power within oneself which Jesus talked about, and which I believe other great teachers taught. This is the true essence of life. That's what people don't realize. There's a lot of nonsense talked in your world about the fish on religious grounds. What people don't realize is that the truth is within. And once you begin to grasp the significance of it, the power of experience of all manner and kind is there. And as you realize this and express it, and so you open up yourself to greater knowledge and wisdom and truth, and so you advance. It is something that must come. That's why I say you can't be anything more than what you are by your own effort. No one can do it for you. You can do it yourself. Mm. It's there all the time.
What is your son doing, Mr. John?
Oh, he's a great soul. He's a wonderful lad. Of course, he had no other life to speak of. He's grown up here. He's a great soul. He's, in his own way, I suppose you call a teacher. But then again, the more highly advanced we become, the more humble we become. We don't talk in the same sense as you would on earth about advancement. Advancement is something that comes from one's effort and one's realization and the humility of one's inner soul. Greatness isn't something which is akin to greatness on your side. In fact, I go as far as to say the more highly advanced or great, so-called great a person may be materially, the less likely they are to be, well, great here. I mean, they had to start from rock bottom. People put the wrong emphasis on greatness, usually material thing on your
side. What's the music like? Oh, it's your
spiritual soul is wonderful, beyond anything you can experience. Music is a place for you both.
Could you dump it louder?
I can't
hear you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mr. Gunn, very much. Oh, all right, Mickey. Thank you, Mickey. Goodbye, love. See you in 3 weeks' time.